The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, everyone. It's New Year's Eve. Happy New Year, Jamie Eisenberg. Got some resolutions ready to share?
No, but I'll make some up.
Okay, well, like regular resolutions, non-fantasy?
No. Can you make resolutions?
I am going to make a resolution. Yeah.
What is it?
I'm going to try to stick to it. Well, I fail every year. It's always like exercise. Mm-hmm. Never do that. But I'm going to try to cut down on my profanity this year. Because, you know, because now I can't, you know, he's going to start, my little kid's going to start saying what I say. So I got to start cutting down to the profanity a little bit.
That's a good one.
It is a damn good resolution. Welcome to the show. Jamie and I are here in studio in Fort Lauderdale, and we do have some fantasy resolutions for you. We'll go through all the coaching news. Not that much this year, but Ron Rivera hired by the Redskins. I've got some five random topics that I'm actually really excited to talk about. Matthew Stafford's in there. Jimmy Garoppolo's in there. Tampa Bay. Something about them in there. So we'll get to that. I'll start with the coaching news. So what's the biggest fantasy coaching news so far?
Biggest fantasy coaching news so far? I don't know if there is one fantasy-wise. Yeah. There hasn't been anything yet because we don't know who some of the new hires are going to be.
Right.
You know, obviously losing some of the key coordinator / coaches could be prominent. But I guess one, if you're interested in the Jaguars passing game or offense in general, the fact that we're just finding out right before the show that Doug Marrone is going to return for the Jaguars. So John DeFilippo, I'm going to guess, is going to be back. And that is probably a good thing for their passing game because we saw some strides this year from them.
Probably a good thing for Fournette. Because I'm of the mind that he won't replicate his pass-catching prowess. Heath's like, well, they're going to keep the same offensive coordinator. I don't know if he thinks he'll have the same amount of catches, but that'll still be very involved.
I would say he'd be around 50.
Yeah, but he was like around 80 this year, wasn't he?
No, that's hard to replicate.
Right.
Or what his skill set should be. And I wonder if the Week 17 performance from Rykel Armstead opened some eyes a little bit because he looked explosive.
All right, so we'll talk a little. I have a few Week 17 leftovers to get to, but mostly we're looking forward. We'll give you those resolutions. We'll read your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. It's a really good time to send your emails in. Again, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And if you're one of those people that's like, hey, you never respond to my email, well, make sure you're sending it to CBSI, the letter I, not EYE, because some people do that. And we don't respond to that because that's not a real address. Winners and losers in terms of the coaching news. So I have Baker Mayfield as a winner, and I have Daniel Jones as a loser. Do you agree with those?
No, because I want to see who the Browns hire first, because okay. I don't think this offense was very good to begin with.
It just seemed dysfunctional, you know? Just a fresh start for Mayfield, for Beckham, for Landry. I can't see the game worse.
I do agree with Baker. I'm sorry. Yes, it's a win for him. Yes, so I apologize. Daniel Jones, I don't know. I mean, if they bring in somebody that's better than Pat Shurmur, and I think it's more about the personnel at this point.
Who's better than Pat Shurmur?
You?
No, he's, to be fair, he's got a very good track record.
He's a good coordinator.
As an offensive coach.
He's not a good head coach.
I don't like Daniel Jones having to learn a new offense and, yeah, the uncertainty. Because I actually, if Pat Shurmur ends up as a coordinator, you and I debated this on the radio show on Saturday night. If he ends up somewhere as a coordinator, I would consider that a good hire. You know, I like Pat Shurmur in terms of fantasy offense. What he did with Case Keenum was pretty remarkable. What he's done with the Giants, like even Eli Manning wasn't that bad last year. And this year, I thought Daniel Jones outperformed just about everyone's expectations.
He's a good play caller. And maybe when he has the right personnel, he'll be better. But I think that's an incomplete. I don't think it's a win or a loss yet. Because if they get somebody who's on par or better, could be good for him.
Jason Garrett right now still the Cowboys head coach, not expected to be the Cowboys head coach.
This is a weird one because his contract expires, I believe it's on the 14th of January.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily have to fire him.
Right. Just fire him. Like, just let him like have 2 weeks. What do you think about Chad Oshea getting fired, the Dolphins coordinator?
Didn't surprise me totally. I mean, the offense wasn't great. You know, Fitzpatrick saved them in a lot of situations just by his nature of play. They couldn't run the ball at all. You know, yeah. I mean, it's hard to necessarily say it's a fair slate for him because of the talent he was dealing with and, you know, offensive linemen shuffling in and out and, you know, guys that are, you know, they're NFL caliber players, obviously, but they're not superstars. And so, you know, how would he have done with stars or potential stars or, you know, established players? So Chan Gailey is a guy that's had a lot of success in the NFL. It's just it's weird that he's back again. You know, you just don't, you know, think about guys at his age that sort of leave the game for a little bit and then come back. We'll see. You know, that's one I think where you got to see who they're working with because there's so many uncertainties with them.
Yeah, they're going to look very, very different. So honestly, to be quite honest, I just don't think there's that much to dissect here.
Well, I think if you're looking at it from the Washington defensive perspective, Ron Rivera will do some good things there. You know, I didn't see the contract numbers yet. It's weird that that's where he wanted to go because
yeah.
You know, you're dealing with, you know, a team that just has not had a lot of success. And you think for a guy that's probably trying to get a Super Bowl or has some sustained success after what he went through in Carolina the last couple of years, you know, I don't know if there's a situation that's dramatically better that was available to him. But
right. We don't know who wanted him. But
like a lot of people obviously were sort of tying him to the Giants because of Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
And if I had my choice, I would prefer the Giants over Washington because I like Daniel Jones better than Dwayne Haskins. I think there's probably a quicker path to victory there. There's no guarantee, but I just think you look at what the talent for both those teams are. The yeah. Giants' talent base right now seems to be a little bit better.
All right, so where were the openings? We had Washington, we had the Giants, let's say we have the Cowboys,
Carolina.
We have the Browns, and Carolina. Is that it? Five of them?
Now that Jacksonville is locked in, yeah.
Right.
And Atlanta's locked in.
How would you, let's say you're a hothead coaching candidate, what would your preferences be?
Oh, Dallas is number
right.
one.
Right. Dallas one. Yeah. I'd say Cleveland too.
The only thing that makes me nervous about Cleveland, if I'm a prospective head coach that has options, is they just don't have a long track record of sticking with one guy. I mean, you look at the coaches that have come in, come out, you have now the one and done with. It's two one and dones, really, because Rob Chudzinski was one and done too. So you know, there's a history here of not giving your coach the chance to sort of stumble through some things and learn. So if you're Matt Rhule, for example, who doesn't have any NFL head coaching experience,
right.
If you fail, is it I'm out in 2 years now? You know, after not doing well over that span.
So what's number two for you?
I would think the Giants.
Really?
You know, just because, again, you have – I think Daniel Jones is going to be good. I do think that, you know, you have young running back who's obviously excellent. You have, you know, some key pieces offensively. Defense obviously needs a ton of work.
Yeah.
A ton of work. But it feels like once you have the quarterback in place, you can make some things happen. And I do feel like Daniel Jones is legit. Not that Dwayne Haskins isn't. You know, he has the chance to – you know, he's shown some things. But, you know, Jones, Haskins right now, I would take Jones.
All right.
Not that I would take them over
so
Baker.
So you go Dallas, Giants.
Probably Cleveland third.
Carolina. Washington?
Yeah.
I mean, Washington, what a bad franchise they are right now.
They just must have thrown a lot of money at Rivera.
I guess.
Hard to overlook.
All right, so that's pretty much going to wrap up our coaching discussion. Obviously, we have 3 episodes per week during the offseason, and we'll tell you about all the coordinators that get hired, the head coaches that get hired. But right now, until those hirings are made, you know, there's not much to break down. Now, if you heard our Sunday night show, we gave you our nominations for the Fantasy Awards. You can go on our Facebook page and vote for them. Our Facebook group is Fantasy Football Today. You can vote for them on that page. And you can vote for the bust via Apple Podcast Review. That's where we're going to, you know, collect the votes for the biggest bust of the season in fantasy. I think it's Le'Veon Bell, personally. I think he would get my vote.
David Johnson, come on.
All right, that's fair. Okay, fine. David Johnson. Le'Veon was so bad. So send us your votes. At least you knew you could sit David Johnson. At least you could replace him
if
at one point.
If you knew that you could sit him, that probably means he's a bust.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you were still starting Le'Veon Bell.
I would take the 8 points of Le'Veon Bell as opposed to the zero of
David
Johnson.
You didn't have to start the zero. You got to put someone better in.
Okay,
probably better than Le'Veon Bell.
That's still your first or second round pick. That
yeah, he's bad. He's bad. All right, well, there you go. See, the debate rages on. So you can vote for that one on Apple Podcasts. The other ones vote for in our Facebook group. Playoff Pick'em. You got a few days to get your picks in. It's almost time. CBS Sports has a new way for you to up the action. It's Playoff Pick'em. Whether you want to pick the games for cash or compete against friends, we have you covered with two easy ways to play. First, you can enter the playoff challenge for your chance to win $5,000. All you need to do is pick the winners, and the champ walks away with a big $5,000 in cash. Second, get your friends, your family, your coworkers, anybody that loves football involved by creating a fully customizable private pool. You'll be in full control with options to choose the matchups that you want to include, how to pick them, the scoring, and more. That is all. That is the Playoff Pick'em. It's totally free. Go to cbssports.com/playoff or download the CBS Sports app. Start your pool. Play for $5,000. cbssports.com/playoff. All right. I worked very hard on these five random things.
Okay.
I think you're going to enjoy them. They're okay. Very good. They're very thought-provoking.
I love all of your random things.
Random thing number one. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones, in week 17, had 7 catches for 78 yards on 13 targets. Matt Ryan threw over 50 passes. Why do I bring this up?
Because he's also banged up in that game.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers against number one wide receivers. In their last 6 games, they faced Julio Jones twice. They faced Kenny Galladay, who's a top 5 receiver this year. They faced DeAndre Hopkins. They faced DJ Chark. None of them scored. Only Julio Jones had even 50 yards. They've got some young corners. Carlton Davis, who's been awesome.
He's the one.
Jamel Dean. Sean Murphy Bunting. They're first and second year players. They just completed their rookie or their second seasons. Davis has come on very strong. This team has the looks of a great secondary. And I just think it's noteworthy, you know. We'll have to wait till week one to really put it into focus. But what they did there, and it sort of ties into what Bruce Arians said about Jameis Winston. He believes in his defense now, and he's not going to deal with 30 interceptions going forward.
Oh, well, I mean, nobody should deal with 30 interceptions.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I think, you know, this is a credit to Todd Bowles. It's a credit to this defensive coaching staff, what they started with and what they were able to mold at the end of the season. These are the type of improvements you like to see from young players, and it's why they got rid of Vernon Hargraves too, is they wanted to let these guys flourish. So this is if they're able to keep Shaq Barrett, which is pretty important. You know, they have two players of pretty significant prominence who are free agents, Jameis and Barrett, and if they can't work out a long term extension with one of them, they're gonna have to use a franchise tag on one of them. And so at this point, you don't want to let the quarterback go because that's tough to lose. But Shaq Barrett is a big part of this, too. You need to have that pass rush. So I think this is going to be one of these defenses. I don't know if they're going to be a great DST, fantasy-wise, but this is not going to be one of those scenarios, what we've talked about for the last couple of years,
right?
Pick on Tampa Bay.
Right.
Not anymore, no.
And by the way, they led the NFL in passing yards 2 straight years. So that's
passing yards allowed.
Well, I'm transitioning to their offense.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm sorry.
Just another side note. The best passing game in the NFL 2 straight years, but now you combine that with the defense. Maybe the passing numbers will come down a little bit, but you got the makings of a potentially dangerous team there. And we know their run defense has been great all year. All right, second random thing. Matthew Stafford, on a per-game basis, do you want to guess where he finished?
I know this. He was top 3.
Yeah. He was second in 6-point, third in 4-point per passing touchdown leagues. What do you make of that with Stafford? He was on pace for 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions.
This is a team that struggled to run the ball early in the season, as we recall. You know, we talked about Kerryon Johnson's PPR numbers were okay, but his rushing numbers weren't so great. And, I you know, a defense that was not probably as good as it should have been based on some of the talent that they acquired. Remember, we talked about, oh, this defensive front could be amazing when they got Trey Flowers and Mike Daniels, and, you know, we thought that they'd be pretty good, and that didn't necessarily pay off. So put them in some tough spots. I think you look at it as, you know, if they're able to retain everyone, maybe you want to look this up, Marvin Jones, I think he's either entering free agency or he's got one more year left. So Galladay, Jones, Hawkinson, I don't know if Amendola's a free agent too. That's a pretty good receiving core there. And Kerryon's a pretty good pass catcher. If they were to use him in that regard.
Nobody's going to really want him, Matthew Stafford, next year in drafts. He's an interesting sleeper. I just don't like quarterbacks that don't run. And what he was doing,
which is funny because you were the one driving the Breeze campaign.
I like Drew Breeze. He's an exception.
They were back-to-back in fantasy points per game.
Yeah. But Breeze obviously has done this a lot. Stafford
He's done this a lot too.
Not
to this level. But
exactly,
this
not to this level.
But I mean, he's a 5,000-yard passer. Those don't come along very
5,000 yards, but he's not really a 5,000-yard passer. He's done it before. He was on pace for it, and his yards per attempt was like sky high. It was second best in the NFL.
Best of his career.
Yeah. So I just don't really think that he can do that again. But he's an interesting player because I do think that if he plays, you know, I think he'll be top 12. He'll fall into that top 12. He's kind of like Phillip Rivers, but like what Phillip Rivers has been.
Sure.
Right? Consistently top 12.
Always Stafford, underrated.
Top 10.
Always underrated.
But sort of. But he's also sort of a dinosaur because he is completely immobile, basically. Like he's not going to give you any rushing production.
Sure.
And you have to adapt to the times. So he's not the kind of late-round flyer I'd like to take.
But you say adapt to the times. And yes, Lamar Jackson was obviously amazing. Do you consider Mahomes a running quarterback or he just runs?
He'll give you something with his legs.
Okay, so give me a number here. Because the three guys that I think everybody's going to look at as running quarterbacks in the top 10, because I just wrote this yesterday. It's on the site, our top 10 quarterbacks. It's Lamar, Kyler, and Josh Allen. Those are the three right now that are running.
So Jameis
500
Winston,
or more yards.
Jameis Winston had 250 yards.
Okay, so
that was ninth best at quarterback.
Put it right there. So 250.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is that the number that you're considering to be a running quarterback? Or does it have to be closer to five?
No, it doesn't have to be five.
Okay, so 250.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mahomes will probably give you 250 when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Right?
Rodgers used to, but he doesn't anymore.
Russell Wilson will probably give you 250 when he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on Cam, 250 is probably easy for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another guy I think that's going to be interesting on draft day as well. You're only going to get maybe seven or eight of those guys?
Well, like I said, Winston was ninth in rushing among quarterbacks. But you'll have more. I mean, I think Daniel Jones will break into that group. Look, maybe 10, right?
Okay, so let's say 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, but their passing also has to sort of...
But they'll also get some rushing touchdowns. Matthew Stafford has 14 in his career.
But Josh Allen had 9. You know, I mean, that's going to come down.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. So if you're looking for a late-round pick in fantasy at quarterback, what do you want? You want upside or you want top 12? Like,
but if you're saying that... Okay, so Stafford... On a good year for him, and when I say good year, like what he was trending toward this year is a great year.
The best he would have had ever.
But good.
Second best.
Good year for him is probably 4,400 yards.
2017, 4,429 touchdowns with 10 interceptions.
Okay.
Very good year.
So if you know you're getting that.
Yeah.
And 50 yards rushing, maybe 2 rushing touchdowns, let's just say.
Okay. I'll give him 100 yards. He's usually around 100.
That's a top 12 quarterback.
It is. The question is it a top 12 quarterback that you really want to roster? Because it's a safe top 12 quarterback. It's not a league winning top 12 quarterback.
But this is the type of guy you pair with a Daniel Jones or, you know, if you think Dwayne Haskins can make the leap or Joe Burrow or, Tannehill, Fitzpatrick, you know, the type of guys that have huge volatility.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the safe guy.
I guess I could make the case that you could have a quarterback strategy that would completely ignore somebody like Matthew Stafford. Unless you say, well, look what he did in these 8 games in 2020. He's capable of that. But you could have a quarterback strategy that basically says, I'm only swinging for the fences. I'm only taking guys who could finish top 5.
But this
and
comes
Stafford,
down,
I really don't think could.
But it also comes down to not just your draft approach to quarterbacks, your draft strategy in general. Because if you're going to swing for the fences... You're going to start to take these guys like Kyler and Josh Allen and the unproven guys.
Yeah,
you know, over the course of
you would definitely take them over Stafford,
100%.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, there's going to be a group. We've already established this, and we probably haven't said it enough on this venue. But we all have 5 of us, you, me, Dave, Heath, and Ben Gretsch, have the same top 4 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
In some order. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
5 is where it gets crazy.
I don't remember who I have 5.
And then you have Dak.
Okay.
I have Jameis. Somebody else has Dak. Dave has Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan feels like a better version of Matthew Stafford.
Yes.
Okay. So it's all over the place where we're going with the so 5 through 10 is going to be where I think that's where your fantasy league could be decided.
Yeah.
If those 4 guys do what they've done or, you know, have shown the potential to do.
But each of the last 2 years, Lamar Jackson was not a top 12 ADP quarterback.
He was 14th.
Where was Mahomes? Probably around 11
through 14th.
Right. So
But that's what I'm saying is, like, you know, this is where your draft strategy comes into play, because those first four guys are probably, based on ADP, first three rounds, let's just say.
Yeah.
I'm probably being conservative, but like, first three rounds. No, I wouldn't be surprised. I think round three is.
No, I mean, not on our teams.
No, you usually take Rodgers in the third round.
If I'm going to take him there, it's only going to be an expert draft because nobody else is taking. Like, you, if we're drafting with general public, we're not getting those quarterbacks.
Oh, I
we're
going to
be lower on it. We're going to be lower on the quarterbacks. Right. Just but
those four guys are going to be first three round picks.
Uh huh.
Then it's going to be, okay, when do those next group of guys come off the board? How excited are you about Kyler Murray in year two? How excited are you about Josh Allen in year three? How excited are you about if Dak gets maybe Josh McDaniels or Greg Roman, or, you know, somebody who can change his game a little bit or enhance his skills? Or if Jameis stays with Bruce Arians and, you know, there's 5,030 on the table again with 250 rushing. Mm-hmm. You know, so those are the guys that are going to be, I think, the ones that people sort of gravitate toward. And then it's, do I want Matt Ryan? Do I want Carson Wentz? Do I want Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers? Or do I just say, I don't care who I end up with, because maybe I pair Stafford and Sam Darnold. Maybe I pair Stafford and Daniel Jones. You know, this is, I think, where Stafford comes into play. Phillip Rivers, if he stays in Los Angeles, as how he's sort of been viewed. You know, this is, I think, what people do. And yeah. And I know you're sort of pushing this idea a lot, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to get behind, of I don't necessarily need to take the superstar quarterback, but I'm going to take two with the hope that I hit on one. And if I hit on that one, then I don't have to worry about the second guy.
Yeah, I know. I just don't know that Stafford is that guy. Like,
no, but Stafford is the I know what I'm getting guy.
Right.
You know, so the floor is hopefully safe. So Tannehill and Stafford is not a bad pairing. Baker and Stafford is not a bad pairing. Joe Burrow and Stafford. If you know, Joe Burrow looks like,
you know the thing is with Joe Burrow is, like,
he's probably not the best example, but
I'm not going to draft, because, you know, Kyler Murray had a good rookie year. Baker Mayfield had a good rookie year.
But what I'm getting at is people get enamored with the next guy. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing to take the next guy and the safe guy with the hope that, you know, you're getting 44 and 30. What you said, 29, 44 and 29.
4,400 years ago,
4,429.
Look, and Kenny Galladay is really awesome. So he's going to elevate Stafford's game. The point is, people should know how good Stafford was in those eight games. Not every game was great, but he had a huge game at Arizona, not a surprise. Huge game against Minnesota, huge game against the Giants, huge game at Oakland. It's another thing to keep in mind. Three of those four blow-up games were against, you know, three of the worst pass defenses.
They're also going to play a last-place schedule again. And what we're seeing is, as great as Minnesota's defense is, and we'll see how they finish in the playoff, that secondary is starting to fall apart a little bit. Guys are getting older. Green Bay secondary, I think, is on the rise, and their defense should continue to be good. But we saw some flaws in the Chicago defense. You know, so two of the four.
But they're still good.
They're still very good, but it's not the same as it was 2 years ago. And so you're seeing some flaws in two pretty established defenses that he may have to throw against. And with one superstar wide receiver and a you know, budding tight end that could be a star, that's a lot to like.
All right, next observation here, random fantasy observation. Derrick Henry was the number four running back in non-PPR, number eight in PPR on a per-game basis, which is really interesting that he had such a great year and he was RB8 on a per-game basis in PPR. However, he's within one fantasy point per game of being RB4. But you just look at the trends. This was such a strange year. You had four running backs who finished top 12 in points per game in PPR with less than, I want to say, 40 catches. There were only two of them in 2012. And, like, so the four this year were Derrick Henry. Remember, this is points per game in PPR, less than 40 catches. Henry was RB8. He had 18 catches. Ingram was RB10. He had 26. Chubb was RB11. He had 36. And Chris Carson was RB12. He had 37. The only two who were top 12 last year on a per-game basis in PPR with less than 40 catches were Kareem Hunt, who was on pace for 38 catches. He missed five games. And Leonard Fournette, who was on pace for 44 catches. He missed, I think, eight games. You know, it's just in PPR, where's Derrick Henry going to go? What he did with 18 catches, very unusual. And I just don't think I'm going to draft him as of right now.
Sure. I think when you think of Derrick Henry, like, you know, the historical guys you want to compare him to, think Michael Turner. At his best in Atlanta.
I was going to say Marshawn Lynch.
That's the second name I was going to say. Yeah. Marshawn Lynch at his best in Seattle. You know, guys that are going to be maybe 25 catches, maybe.
Right.
If you get 30 plus, that's a dream. Mm. But think about the touchdown potential, the yardage potential, what their role is in this offense. And this is kind of, I think, you know, depending on your preference of the type of players that you take. I'll give you a good comparison, because I think he was, at least going into the last week, he was pretty close in PPR. Maybe not per game, but seasonal points. Austin Eckler. So imagine Melvin Gordon's gone, and it's Eckler and Justin Jackson as the two main guys in for the Chargers. Who's more appealing to you as a PPR guy?
Eckler or Henry, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I would say Henry. I have doubts about Eckler, but it's a good question.
But that's the type of, you know, a guy that could be 80 catches
mm-hmm.
and has shown the ability to find the end zone. So he could probably score 10 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 1,500 total yards if things go right.
I got a fun one for you here. I'm looking up Marshawn Lynch. His last season in Seattle. It's a fairly typical year for him. 1,300 rushing yards, 13 rushing touchdowns, and I actually caught 37 passes. All right, so let me pick. I got to pick a different year then. I'll pick 2012. Oh, that's a really good year, though. That's 1,600 yards. Let's do 2011.
That's Derrick Henry, though.
I guess, but 2011, 12. All right, fine. You know what? Let me come back to this since I have to pick a different year, because Derrick Henry's not catching 37 passes. But basically, I'm going to find out where Marshawn Lynch would rank today based on like a typical Seattle year. So I'll get to that in a second. Let's go to our next. This one you'll like. Random fantasy observation. I might owe Jamie Lynch. I don't remember if that was the terms of the bet.
Yeah, Lockett versus Metcalf.
Lockett versus Metcalf. I thought Metcalf was going to lead the team in touchdowns. I think if he had caught that ball that Russell Wilson just airmailed right before the Lynch touchdown, he was wide open in the end zone. They would have tied, and I would have taken that as a win, because it would have he would have led the team in touchdowns. But so would Lockett. Lockett finishes with 8 and Metcalf with 7. So congratulations on your lunch.
Thanks, bud.
And then finally, observation number 5.
We didn't really talk about Metcalf though. We were, you know, singing the praises of Sunday show of Terry McLaurin and AJ Brown and Debo Samuel, and I feel like Metcalf gets overlooked with those guys. He had a really good
season. Not by me, because I love him, but
he had a really good season.
He's such an interesting player. You know, Lockett led the NFL in red zone targets.
Interesting.
Yeah. Metcalf had a good amount, but I thought he was going to play that role.
Lockett's touchdown catch Sunday night was one of the best throws I've ever seen Russell Wilson make.
I wish he wouldn't have said that, because I didn't. I only saw the replay. Like, I didn't see the throw. I don't know what happened.
He apparently. And you know,
I like looked up. It was a touchdown. They're celebrating.
It was right on the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yes, I saw his foot
just behind the line.
Yes.
His body was over, but his foot was still behind.
Whole body, everything.
And he just threw a dart with, I don't know what the defender was just draped all over Lockett. It was a beautiful play.
Yeah. So Metcalf is interesting. This crop, and I'll talk more about that with the resolutions, but these rookie wide receivers are just amazing.
They have the chance to be.
What
a class. You have to wonder if there's going to be some, you know, setback for whoever it may be. But AJ Brown looks like a star in the making. Obviously, Metcalf, if his route tree continues to grow and, you know, they don't do anything to change this receiving core, because as we know, they've tried, you know, by bringing in Josh Gordon in the middle of the season. But if it's Lockett and Metcalf at the top, there's a lot to like about him as a go-to guy for Russell Wilson. Debo Samuel's been, you know, just making so many plays, whether it's running the ball or what he's done as a receiver, you know, over 100 yards in that game Sunday night. And obviously Terry McLaurin, you know, with what he's shown you this year, those four guys, you know, you can make a case. They're all top 24 receivers going into 2020.
So could this really be right? In PPR, non-decimal scoring, look at just one of our leagues, Derrick Henry scored 242 fantasy points. He is currently RB7 in PPR. The stats I gave you earlier were per game. This is full season. RB7. Go back to 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Marshawn Lynch had 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, plus 212 receiving yards, 28 catches, 1 touchdown. Derrick Henry scored 242. Marshawn Lynch that year scored 243.
I mean, that's again, you know, these are the things you sort of have to, you know, what your mind is telling you. Of PPR, need a receiver out of the backfield, need, you know, 50 catches. I need Alvin Kamara. I need Saquon Barkley. I need those guys. even into the early part of round two. His comps are going to be Aaron Jones and Nick Chubb.
In what respect?
In
Derrick Henry's?
Those are his peers of who you're drafting him around.
Oh, who you're drafting around. Yeah. But they're not statistical comps.
No. But yeah. in terms of like where they're going to go draft day. Because I think it's still...
Sorry, you said Aaron Jones and who?
And Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb's ahead of him.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't have it ranked that way.
Oh, really?
I know you do. I think you're the only one. Or maybe Dave.
Well,
I'm writing it today.
Look, if Kareem Hunt comes back, it'd be different, right? But if Hunt's not there, Hunt's a free agent now. You know, Chubb was, I think, an easy pick to be ahead of Derrick Henry, and they're the two leading rushers in the NFL. But the catches were there for Nick Chubb before Kareem Hunt got there. He was on like a nice 50-ish catch pace. That's more than 30 more.
Right now, I have, and again, this for all of us, subject to change. Right now, I have Henry 6, Chubb 7.
Okay.
Dave has Chubb 5, Henry 9. Heath has Henry 5, Chubb 7. Ben has Chubb 6, Henry 9. And you have Chubb 5, Henry 9. So it seems as if Heath and I are the only ones taking Derrick Henry over Nick Chubb as of now.
And me, Dave, and Ben have Henry 9th?
You all have it, I think, 5-9 or 6-9.
That's funny. Yeah,
the top five, I think, are going to be the same for everyone.
In some order, right?
Well, no, I guess Heath has Derrick Henry above Alvin Kamara.
In PPR, huh?
In PPR. Everybody else has... Oh, no, so does Dave. Dave has Chubb over Kamara.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I mean, he's obviously really good. You made a good point about him kind of getting beat up and the physical toll that he takes.
It could be a concern. It could be a concern. You know, now it's 2 years of this grind of, you know, hit after hit after hit. And those guys don't last very long. I don't think it's going to happen this year to the extent of the fall off the cliff year. But you just have to wonder about that.
All right, last random observation. Passing yards per attempt leaders.
You never really finished the Metcalf one, though.
Oh, I owe you lunch.
Oh, well, what was this random...
I owe you lunch. That's okay. It.
All right.
Here are your passing yards per attempt leaders. Top five. Ryan Tannehill, 9.6 yards per attempt. That is one full yard ahead of Matthew Stafford. That is an unbelievable number. 9.6 yards per attempt. No way is he doing that again. He probably won't even be 8.6 next year. So Stafford's number two at 8.6. Garoppolo is number three at 8.4. Mahomes, 8.3. And then we have Dak Prescott and Jameis Winston tied for fifth at 8.2. Who stands out to you on that list? Tannehill, Stafford, Garoppolo, Mahomes, Prescott, Winston.
Stands out in terms of being surprised? Or stands out?
Like,
Mahomes is pretty good.
Spin it with some fantasy analysis. Like, what would you want to highlight there?
I think Garoppolo can be a better fantasy quarterback than he showed this year. I don't know to what extent, but, you know, we were so excited about him going into 2018. And then he had the ACL tear, and then it was like, okay, let's see what kind of quarterback he is coming back. And he's had certainly some highs and lows, more lows than highs from a fantasy perspective. But this shows you that there's been some unlucky performances. We go back to week one against Tampa Bay when he had the two touchdowns that were called back, I think, to George Kittle. He's had some unlucky games, but
I think it's just he doesn't throw enough. He's 19th in pass attempts in the NFL and third in yards per attempt. So I just, that to me is an upside guy, because the thing about the yards per attempt is that it's very consistent with San Francisco quarterbacks under Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. Garoppolo in his five or six starts, and then all the crap we had last year, and then Garoppolo this year. And that's what drew me to Garoppolo as the trendy guy that I liked in drafts. It didn't work out. I mean, at the end of the year, when they got Emmanuel Sanders, he was on pace those 10 games. He was the number 13 quarterback on a per-game basis. He was on pace for under 4,300 yards with 32 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. So they don't, I mean, they obviously are a huge running team, and that stinks, but he is a guy, if things go differently.
Defensive team too.
Yeah, right. If things go differently and he throws five more passes per game or something like that, he could be awesome. Because I don't think he's that good, to be honest with you. I think it's a system thing. It's a lot of Yak, it's a lot of Debo, a lot of I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. But
well, that was
I think
the case with Kittle in 2018 too.
Yeah, his yards per attempt is going to be really good. By the way, he led the NFL, Garoppolo, in touchdown passes inside the 10-yard line, which really surprised me. But they're one of the highest-scoring teams. So I see some sleeper appeal there. Just, you know, he's got to throw more. All right, Jamie, thank you for your thoughts on my five random observations, which were very thought-provoking indeed. News and notes. Adam Gase spoke to Le'Veon Bell about his role for next season. Interesting stuff going on there.
Did he speak to Bell or did he just speak to the media?
No, he spoke to Bell, apparently.
Oh.
But this whole thing about the like the burner account, you're following all this stuff?
I am.
It's so weird. Let's just look it up, people. AJ Green said he would like to return to Cincinnati. Austin Hooper said he'd like to return to Atlanta. Bruce Arians said Tampa Bay can win with a different quarterback. Eli Manning might
not exactly what he said.
He said, yeah. He's like,
if we can win with this one, we can win with another one.
What a quote that is, by the way.
Yes.
That is worse than what I said.
That's a negotiating point. I mean, you know, he's a free agent, so.
I guess so, but he's a straight shooter.
He's definitely, that's the reason you got to love Bruce.
Yeah. Eli Manning might retire, but Phillip Rivers wants to keep playing. Anthony Costanzo, Colts left tackle, he might retire. Some playoff injuries of note. Kansas City safety Juan Thornhill towards ACL. Miles Sanders day-to-day with an ankle. Brandon Brooks, their right guard, he's out for the season with a shoulder injury. Zach Ertz, I'm not really, well.
They're hoping he's going to practice this week.
Yeah.
This is a weird game because I think Philly is the better team right now.
I know.
But they're so beat up.
Is Seattle.
Seattle's beat up too, but.
I don't know if Philadelphia's a better team. They have played.
If they were healthy, I think right now they're better.
They've played four of the worst teams in the NFL. Plus Dallas in their last five games. They placed Giants twice, Redskins, Dolphins, and the Cowboys. The Cowboys game was a very impressive performance. The last 2 weeks, I watched pretty much all of the game on Sunday against the Giants. Their defense really played well. Secondary played very, and I was surprised because they're so beat up at cornerback now.
When they're able to get to the quarterback, when they're able to rush the passer, I mean, it's the same for any team, but when you're able to rush the passer, it's such a different dynamic for any secondary.
Yeah, but it's weird. They've been a very Jekyll and Hyde defense. They're playing pretty well right now.
They should have beaten Seattle the first time they met in Philadelphia. It was bad weather. It was a weird game.
A lot of drops by Metcalf in that game, though. Wilson could have had a much better game.
Wentz as well.
That's the story all year.
Wentz right now, the last month, is playing out of his mind.
He's playing pretty well.
Yeah.
He is. What did I see? He's the first quarterback to do something. It was so interesting, and I have no idea what it was. I'd say if it comes to me, they showed a graphic during the game, the Week 17 game. Damn it. It was so impressive. I wish I had written it down. Well, it was great stuff. T.Y. Hilton played through a 2-centimeter tear in his calf.
Probably hurts.
2 centimeters? Nothing.
Let's tear your calf.
Will Fuller has a chance to play.
We'll just do 1 centimeter. We'll see how you do.
Yeah, two, whatever. Will Fuller has a chance to play this week. Dalvin Cook expected to play this week. That's awesome. The Raiders re-signed left guard Richie Incognito, 2 years, $14 million. And Michael Kendricks, left linebacker for Seattle, he's out for the season with a torn ACL. It's another big blow for them. All right, let's do some 2020 revolutions and resolutions as well. And we'll read some emails to finish the show. I will draft 2 quarterbacks in most of my fantasy leagues. That's my first resolution.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked about this a lot. It comes down, I think, to because we have a lot of people that play in different leagues. If you only have a 5-man bench, it's hard to do.
Not for me. I'm going to do it.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what I'd like to do? I tried to do this morning. I ran out of time. I'd like to go back. Let's do it right now. Give me one of our 12-team leagues. Pick your favorite.
Do the magazine league.
Oh,
you won
okay.
that one, right?
I won that one. You sure? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for picking that one. Let's look at the draft results. Okay. We did this in June, granted. That's why I wasn't going to pick this one. I just want to see the last three or four rounds. Let's go round 11. Deion Lewis, Tom Brady, non-quarterbacks. Deion Lewis, Justice Hill, Bears, N'Keal Harry, Jalen Samuels, Kiki
Kuti. I bet you're going to find one gem in there.
Yeah, sure. Kiki Kuti, Darwin Thompson, Greg Zuerlein, James Washington, Jimmy Graham, Vance McDonald, Jordan Reed, Alexander Mattison. I wonder what team he ended up on in this league. Bruce Anderson, Anthony Miller.
I wonder who took that.
What I'm going to say is that you have mostly bad players who get cut. And then the good players like Alexander Mattison and Anthony Miller, who you drafted, they end up on different teams. So I think we kind of – that's why I'm happy to take 2 quarterbacks.
But I mean, how what's the size of the bench in this league?
15 rounds. So what is that?
6.
6? Okay. Fine.
Makes a difference.
Okay, five is pretty shallow. I think I'd probably still do it.
The thing about that, though, is, to your point, is the talent pool at quarterback on the waiver wire is going to be more vast. So you
in our leagues, but not in most.
No, in a five-man bench, I'm talking
about. Oh, in a five-man, yeah.
So in a six-man bench, it's a little different. You can get away with carrying two quarterbacks because you still have, you can carry two running backs, three running backs, two wide receivers, and then the quarterback. Most fantasy leagues aren't going to have people that take two tight ends.
All right, give me a resolution.
It's more of a league thing. We've talked about this a lot. I want to change waivers to be on Wednesdays.
Because of injuries.
Yeah. I mean, it logically makes more sense.
I think one thing that bothers me that you can, there's a setting in our CBS leagues that you can change that you should put accelerated add drops on. If a guy gets dropped on Tuesday in some leagues, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, he can't be added for a Thursday game.
Sure.
And we need to change that. There's just some obvious things. And again, in the commissioner product, you can do that on CBS. Every league should be decimal scoring at this point.
Yeah, I think that's something we're going to change too. I don't want that. That's Heath's.
Yeah, he's
the driving force behind that one.
All right. I would like half my leagues to be Tuesday waivers and half Wednesday.
I have right now two leagues that run Wednesdays. And you know so much more.
It's a good point.
You have so much more information, yeah. So it just makes it so, logically, like I said, it just seems.
We could change our podcast, though.
I don't know why. If the industry is still Tuesday.
Yeah, I guess
it's
so.
Because our leagues are different.
All right, I'll give you a few more resolutions. I will not listen to people who tell me I'm, quote, reaching for a player. I seem to remember being told, not saying by you, by the way, but in general, that I reached for Miles Sanders.
I usually scold you.
In this June draft, I took him in the sixth round.
So I'm going to tell you something, which I don't think we've ever talked about. I picked right before you in this league, if I remember correctly.
How did you remember that?
Because I took James White over Miles Sanders with the thought of, and when I picked it, I was like, why did I take James?
Non-PPR.
Non-PPR.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get both.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I took Sanders right. Yeah, I don't really believe in reaching. The only time I think you're reaching is when you have some ADP data and you can get the guy with your next pick. And it's obvious that you can. But if you like someone, go get him.
So here, I mean, you know how I feel about that.
Yep.
I'm always in that belief. But our drafts versus non-analyst drafts are so different because I know the guys you like. You know the guys I like. I know the guys Dave likes. Dave knows the guys right. Heath likes. So it almost as if we have to take these guys. Like I had to take Chris Godwin early because I liked him so much.
Sorry.
And other people were taking him.
What a shame.
And the flip side of that, Curtis Samuel. I had to take him early because, it's not necessarily like, I like this guy first and then somebody else does some more research and they like him as well. Like, Dave liked Darren Waller a lot. And then, so it was, I'm going to take him two rounds before he probably should go, A, just to mess with Dave, and B, because we shared the same feelings on his upside. So those things I think come into play. But in for the people who are listening, I think when you look at ADP and you see Miles Sanders is a round 8 pick and you want to take him in round 6, or you see Devin Singletary is a round 10 pick and you want to take him in round 8. If you have conviction about somebody, you absolutely should take him. Who cares what somebody else says? Mm-hmm.
Cook too was an example because people, if you had taken him, if you had had like the sixth pick or something and you didn't think he'd be around in the second round, you'd take him, you believe in that. And there's going to be guys in the first round, in the second round of ADP, if you think that they could be Dalvin Cook, just take him in the first round and we won't scoff at you.
Well, we might, but
we might.
I mean, that's the nature of what our job is. Our job is to evaluate drafts, it's, looking at where we have, I'm trying to think. Derrick Henry, good example. You have him ninth, which is going to put him in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Heath has him fifth. That's going to be a first round pick. So, Heath's going to say, well, there's no way you're getting him in the middle of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, that's the only spot you feel comfortable taking him.
By the way, I have Marvin Jones with 1 year left on his deal.
Okay, and that's what I say. I wasn't
2021.
Sure. Yeah,
how about that random thought? All right, I'll give you a few more New Year's resolutions. 2020 resolutions. I will not draft a DST early. No way.
Why would you?
Every year, like it's just.
But who does? of us, among us. I mean, we tell people it's the same with quarterbacks. You know,
yeah.
You look
the
last 2 years are the best example of it. Jacksonville's defense was historical in 2017.
Yeah.
They fell off the map in 2018.
Right, right.
The Bears' defense was fantastic in 2018. They were a disaster in 2019. You know, so there's no reason.
Who's number one next year? I think the Niners, Ravens?
Patriots?
Yeah. I think people will look at the Patriots, though, and realize that it was the competition. Because they are a really good defense, but they're not necessarily a playmaking defense.
No, but in
people's, like, against
in
good teams.
In people's minds. Ben even said it on the show Sunday night when we were joking about.
Oh, yeah. MVP. Well, that was, I think, a joke from.
No, I'm saying it was a joke. But I think in people's minds, look, the Patriots defense won a lot of people, got a lot of people into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because you got some easy wins through the first 8 weeks of the season.
When I kept looking at, like, halfway through the year with the teams that were in first place, so many of them had Patriots DS.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they really were extremely ordinary second half of the year.
I mean, they just in the biggest moment.
Let's do this.
In the biggest moment of the season for New England, the biggest moment of the season, they let Ryan Fitzpatrick in their building drive down the field and score a touchdown.
Let's take a look when their game against the Ravens was Week 9.
Mm-hmm.
So that's second half of the year. Their last 8 games. Let's see where they ranked Week 9 through Week 17. My final 2020 resolution. This is actually an interesting one. I will not, if I may say so myself, I will not overreact to the success of the 2019 rookie wide receivers. None of them, by the way, were top 20 in PPR.
I mean, just one of your random thoughts was how good they were.
And I mean that in relation to the 2020 rookie wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
because it still is rare for rookie wide receivers to have a big impact, even though they were all so good this year. A.J. Brown was number 14 in non-PPR, but number 23 in PPR. McLaurin was right around there. He was 23rd-ish. Darius Slayton was low end number 2. DK Metcalf was right there. He's 32nd. Debo Samuel was 35th. We had had 4 straight years, really, I think, of
before you move on, think about where those guys were drafted in relation to the top guys, how they finished. N'Keal Harry, Marquise Brown.
Right. Yeah, so, right, exactly.
You know, the excitement level over those two, industry-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, people.
Harry in particular. It wasn't really his fault, but he got injured.
But. No, but there's not a track record of Patriots and young receivers doing well.
Patriots DST 15th in our standard scoring in their last 8 games, 15th.
Yeah, I think the 49ers are going to be probably the one that I look at as the best. But... You know, you have the Ravens defense, I think, can add a couple pieces and still be really good, as what we saw from their secondary. And now they signed Marcus Peters to a 3-year extension.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears defense, I know, you know, mentioned that they're not the same, but they're still going to be really good.
Yeah, they're pretty banged up this
DST
year.
DST-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots, obviously, are still going to be in that group. Trying to think who else.
Yeah, Rams.
If there is one. We'll see. I mean, Wade Phillips may be gone.
What's up with that? He's not the problem.
No, but he's, you know, he's getting up in age, and I'm sure he probably wants to do some other things in life.
Well, I think he wants to stay with the Rams. But they didn't fire
him. I'll tell you what. So. The Browns coach, if Myles Garrett's suspension does not linger, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one that started to play really well.
Yeah.
The Steelers still. I mean, that defense was great.
Yeah, what's wrong with me? I've been saying for weeks the Steelers have the best defense in football. So maybe it's them. They're really good, but you got to have that edge rusher for sure. All right, let's read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. Adam in Chicago, 12-team, half PPR keeper league. He's got the 6th pick, keep 2, and their corresponding draft pick. All of them can be kept for one additional year, except for Davante Adams. So we've got Adams in the 2nd. It's half PPR, and you're picking 2. Adams in the 2nd, Robert Woods in the 3rd, Miles Sanders in the 4th, Michael Gallup in the 9th, Russell Wilson, 13th round. Mostert, last pick. Hunter Henry, last pick. Mecole Hardman, last pick. Golden Tate, last pick. All right, so let's eliminate Golden Tate and Hardman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's probably not going to take Russell Wilson in the 13th round. I don't know. I won't eliminate him. I don't think you can take Davante Adams in the 2nd round. I don't know.
Not getting any value there.
You can get him, right. All right, so I don't think you should take Robert Woods in the 3rd round either.
No.
All right, we got Miles Sanders in the 4th. Michael Gallup in the 9th, Wilson in the 13th, Mostert and Hunter Henry, last pick.
I'm keeping 2?
Yeah.
Based on value, I might go Gallup and Henry.
I can't pass up Miles Sanders in the fourth round.
He's going to end
up...
And
you can keep him for another year
At the fourth round value?
I don't know. He's a second round pick next year. For me, I take... He might be a first round pick.
He won't be a first round pick. There's no chance he's a first round pick.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
There, you have him ranked 10th at the position. There's not 10 running backs.
Miles Sanders?
You have him ranked 10th.
Nuh-uh.
You have him ranked 7th.
Yeah, I think that's a top 12 pick. I
don't think so.
There's only one wide receiver that I can tell you right now that I'm definitely taking over.
You're taking PPR Miles Sanders over DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Did you see how bad of a year DeAndre Hopkins had? Did you?
This is a bad year.
Yeah. I mean, that's a funny thing. Let's do this right now, actually, because I'm kind of curious. All right, DeAndre Hopkins. Compared to what he usually does, DeAndre Hopkins scored 263 fantasy points. Where would he have ranked last year with that at wide receiver? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's amazing. He was a number 3 wide receiver in fantasy and PPR. He scored 70 fewer points than he did last year. I think he'll be better. But the thing about Hopkins is he averages about 8 targets per game with Will Fuller this year. Pretty interesting. I love Miles Sanders. This is what I'm talking about when I don't want people to... I'm not worried about people telling me I'm reaching. I think Miles Sanders has number 1 running back in fantasy.
Okay, so potential. I could see if you're picking in the 10 through 12.
Yeah, that's where I think he will be for some people.
Just you.
I think he'll be a mid-second round pick.
I don't even rank him in my top 10.
Yeah, you're too low on him. Your top 10 running backs? You're too low. He's the man. He is the man. You see what he's been doing lately? He's the man.
Really good?
Oh, my gosh. He's amazing.
He's in my top 12, but not in my top 10.
Yeah, no, I love Miles Sanders. This is how I felt about Jeremy Hill going into his second year. We all know what happened there. all right, next. So, okay, you're keeping Gallup and Henry?
I'll keep Sanders and Henry.
Thank you.
Make it easy for you.
I'll keep Sanders and Gallup. Gallup in the 9th round. He's very good. Second email is from Jay, a.k.a. Mr. Waiver Wire. Looking ahead to next season, we can keep only one player and only for 1 year. It has to be somebody after the 3rd round. If you pick them up off waivers, they are your 6th round pick.
Why do we always want to say ravers instead of waivers?
Do we, or did I just do that?
You did. I do it too.
Ravers? Yeah. Because we're exciting people.
We're like Scooby-Doo.
Full PPR. All right. So who do you like? Aaron Jones in the 4th.
Yes.
Cortland Sutton in the 6th. You're not going to go with Aaron Jones, I don't think. Devontae Parker in the 6th. DJ Moore in the 9th. Winston in the 13th, or Darren Waller in the 15th.
Only keep one?
Aaron Jones in the 4th, Cortland Sutton and Devontae Parker in the 6th, DJ Moore in the 9th.
DJ Moore.
Jameis in the 13th and Waller in the 15th.
DJ Moore.
Do you think that Cam Newton hurts DJ Moore?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
I don't think that DJ Moore is only good because of Kyle Allen.
No, but we don't know what Cam's tendencies are. We don't know if he'd be more of a Curtis Samuel guy. We know
How
that...
can you not be a DJ Moore guy if you're any guy?
It might just be... The funny thing is, Curtis Samuel is supposed to be the downfield guy, right?
More of a downfield guy than DJ Moore.
That's Cam's strength. They might just throw for fewer yards with Cam Newton.
They might.
You know?
If Cam's the guy there.
If Cam's the guy, yeah. All right. Good show, Jamie.
That's all the emails we got?
That's it. I responded to some. Didn't read them on the air. But, yeah, it was a good time to get your keeper questions in, or any questions. Send them in, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
You want to change any of your top 10 running backs before I publish it today? You remember the list?
Yeah, go ahead.
You got Miles Sanders, 1. McCaffrey, 1. Barkley, 2. Elliott, 3. Dalvin Cook, 4. Nick Chubb, 5. Kamara, 6. Sure you want Chubb over Kamara in PPR?
No, I don't. I want Kamara, 5.
You sure this is your list now?
Are you sure?
I'm reading it. This is your list.
No, I don't want that. I want Kamara 5 and okay. Yeah, I want Kamara 5 and Chubb 6.
Kamara 5 and Chubb 6, okay.
Yeah.
7 would be Miles Sanders. Uh-huh. 8 would be Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
9 would be Derrick Henry, and 10 would be Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right. So just so I'm aware, you have Kamara 5 and Chubb 6.
Mhm.
You sure? You don't want Sanders 6?
I want Sanders maybe 2, but no, we'll keep it to 7.
You want to hear the rest of everybody's list?
No,
I can name. I'll give me a name.
Ben
Gretsch.
Nobody could mistake me in bed.
Christian McCaffrey, 1. Saquon Barkley, 2. Alvin Kamara, 3. Dalvin Cook, 4. Ezekiel Elliott, 5. Nick Chubb, 6. You both have Miles Sanders, 7. Good Aaron man. Jones, 8. Derrick Henry, 9. Leonard Fournette, 10.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to be alone on Josh Jacobs, too. Do you have Jacobs in your top 10?
No, but they would be 11 and 12 for me, the two rookies. I have Joe Mixon ahead of both of them.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. All right, we're out of here, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Have a great celebration. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Hopefully we'll have some coaching hires by then. For Jamie, I'm Adam. See ya.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.